KPBS On Demand is supported by Marichal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Marichal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, comedian Mal Hall sits down and talks about Father's Day, dad jokes, and his career. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Father's Day is Sunday, and we often talk about some of the more serious aspects of fatherhood this time of year, but we wanted to lighten things up today to focus on dads and humor.
Do you guys think it's weird that you don't need any kind of certification to take a baby home? Is that crazy? Every other thing that we do in this country as adults, you need to get a certification. Like, you want to drive, you need a license. We need to send somebody out and make sure you're cool to drive. You want to rescue a dog tomorrow? You can't just go down to the animal shelter and say, hey, I'm here to rescue an animal. No, they don't just give you a dog and send you home. There's paperwork involved. And then they send a human to your house to check it out and make sure it's cool for a dog to live there. But when you have a baby, they're just watching the clock. It's been 26 hours. Go ahead. You could take this baby. You've been a kid before, right? Yeah. Okay. You'll be fine.
That's Mal Hall in his last comedy special, The Ice Cream's Not Ready. Mal is a San Diego-based comedian, a dad of three kids. Mal, welcome to Midday Edition. You've been a kid before, right?
I've been a kid before.
Okay.
I did it one time. It was pretty good.
It was okay.
I survived it.
I mean, okay, well, being a father plays a pretty big role in your comedy acts, I see here.
Yeah.
So why is that?
Well, as a comedian, my style of comedy, I tell stories. And for my entire career, the stories that I tell sort of mirror whatever chapter of life that I'm in. So this is the chapter I find myself in. Millennial dad, three kids under six. There's a lot of comedy in here. There's
yes.
a lot of comedy available.
Yes, that's true. And okay, so you must tell me about your children. There's three of them.
There's
How old are they?
My son, Kalino, 6 years old. My daughter, June, 3 years old. And our youngest, Kaipo, just turned one in May. So those are my three.
Yeah.
Three bosses, I guess.
They are bosses at that age. What's their personality like?
So the two boys are super chill, and they, at least my oldest, is very good at listening, and he's been that way from the jump, like kind of the easiest baby of all time. And then my daughter is, you know, she's given us a run. She's given us a run for the money. It is everything that my mom warned us about for my son, for the firstborn.
Uh-huh.
We're like, I don't know what you're talking about. This kid listens, he sleeps, he does everything we ask him to do. My daughter is like, oh, I'll do all those things that she warned you about.
Yeah.
I'll see if I could hurt myself with this house. Oh, you said stop? I translate that to sprint towards the danger. So come get me if you can.
It's like you feel like they could have a cotton ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And surely they couldn't hurt themselves with a cotton ball.
She'll find a way to weaponize that cotton ball.
Yeah, they'll do it. Man, well, we all know what a dad joke is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think a hallmark of it is that it's corny. So are you guilty of telling these jokes?
I'm not the dad joke guy. I enjoy laughing at a dad joke, and I enjoy, you know, people, the moms that make the dad jokes around me. I'm the comedian that I would prefer if you didn't know I was a comedian for as long as possible. And that way it's less pressure on me and the people around me to be funny. I'm not the clown.
Right.
Right? So you make the jokes and I'm going to give you a full laugh so you feel good that you are a funny person. Whether or not the joke was funny, it does not matter to me as long as I don't have to make you laugh for free.
I totally get that. I mean, you know, like, and kids are funny, right? Because my daughter the other day, my husband, he told a dad joke,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't even remember what the joke was because it was just that corny. But I laughed, you know, and we're just laughing. And my daughter, who's 5 years old, she's sitting there and she goes, yeah, that wasn't funny for me.
What else you got, Dad?
Right. Like, so matter of fact, that wasn't funny for me.
Yeah.
Is what she says. So, I mean, you know, I mean, do your kids think you're funny at all?
I think my kids think about my son, the oldest, tells me I'm the best dad and he thinks I'm funny. But the bar to making kids laugh outside of your daughter, apparently, is very low. It's low. Any mention of butts or farts and you're full standing ovation. Like I'm Pryor in the house if I have a good butt joke or fart joke. All the kids seem to love that for now.
Yeah.
And the one-year-old, you just blow on his belly and he thinks he's comedy genius.
Well, you know, you grew up in a rural part of San Diego here. Your father's Black, your mom Japanese-American. How has your background and your experience growing up shaped your approach to parenting and even humor?
The approach to parenting, I will tell you, growing up with this background, especially sort of growing up in a very rural community, is like I have a very kind of an old school outlook on parenting and like the process of it all. And it is kind of clashing with sort of millennial sensibilities to what parenting is now. And it's that's where the source of a lot of the comedy comes from, is like just the juxtaposition of like how we were raised, our generation of kids was raised, compared to like how we're parenting. It's like that's where I'm finding most of the jokes. It's like on, you know, field trips with other parents and going like, oh, well, I was raised this way, so I'm raising my kids this way because I feel like I turned out pretty fine. But why are we, oh, we're all doing it like this now? Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why do we have to?
It's so interesting, too, the way that our parents raised us and how they treat the grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a,
oh, yeah.
That's it's a whole different ballgame.
It's kind of you have to divorce yourself from the thought of who your parents were when you were a kid. And I'm letting my mom be the spoil the grandkids because, you know, she's earned that. Mm-hmm. But it is really hard to be like, wait, hold on, wait, why are you letting them do that? Okay, let them do that at your house, though, because I have the rules from that you had when we were kids. Those are the rules in this house now. Yeah. So you're breaking the rules. you're chopping me at the legs right now, Mom.
Right. All this cutting the crust off the bread and everything they're doing, I'm like, I'm not doing that in my house.
Yeah. This is like blowing my mind because literally this past weekend, I had a full, like, not argument, but just conversation with my mom about how we don't cut the crust off of the bread. She's like, well, I cut the crust off of the bread every time they eat bread. And I'm like, well, why? The crust is part of the bread.
It's part of the, yeah.
And it's a step in making the sandwich I don't want to do.
Right.
So also, bread costs money. You're wasting my money.
Yeah.
Keep the crust
expensive
on the bread.
They don't care.
We got to let them have it, though.
Yeah, that's true. They've earned it, like you said.
They've earned it.
Well, you mentioned these generational differences in parenting, mm-hmm. and you own that you are a millennial parent, mm-hmm. But aren't very proud of that. What do you find funny about millennial parenting?
I just think, I don't know. I wasn't at the meeting when we decided to change all the parenting rules. And so I just feel like the change from like the parent being the authority in the house to the parent collaborating with the child is kind of hard for my brain to accept. You know, like I just come from, I. That's the thing that blows my mind the most is that the parents, that we as millennial parents ask our kids sincerely what they want to do, what they want to eat, where they want to go. And as a generation, we feel like we're bad parents or we're abusing our kids if we don't then do every, like, fulfill every answer that the 3-year-old, 4-year-old kid requested. And it's like, I don't know, it blows my mind. It's nails on a chalkboard, and it's like, that's where the comedy comes from. So when you see my show, there's, like, a lot of frustration, but it's like, but it's just kind of, it's just pointing out, I just ask why a lot. Like, why is this?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a good percentage of millennial parents that leave my show not making eye contact with me, which which makes me feel good, to be honest. I made some people think tonight. I like that.
Oh, my gosh. You'll own that, too, then. Yeah. So you're not down with the gentle parenting thing?
No, I'm not down. Yeah. I tell people I'm trying to raise my kids not exactly how I was raised, but I'm taking 75% to 80% of it. The 20%, we can adjust that. You know, I think everybody, I think 20% is a smart amount, but we're making wholesale changes to the principles of parenting, and it's just I don't agree with it.
Right.
I think it's hilarious.
It is.
What do you want for dinner? They don't know.
Nutella.
Yeah. You want ice cream with Nutella for dinner? Coming right up.
Right. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
It really does.
Oh,
every
trust
time
me,
I ask.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't give the right answer, so.
No. It's never the meal that you spent 2 hours to make that they want. It's like, give me the, can you air fry something?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So on your comedy and judging parents earlier, because that's what you do. You're judging the parents. Earlier, we heard a clip from your last comedy special, and you are finishing up a new one. So let's take a listen to that.
I was lied to. I found this out recently. I'm an on-time parent. Like, you don't have to have kids to know the parent. You guys know these parents that feel like they have one baby and they could show up 30 minutes late to everything? They show up late to the thing and they just point at their baby and look at you and they go, oh, you know how it is. I always stand there confused, like, did the baby drive or what is the... You're late, dude. You're in charge. We hate you, not that baby.
Mal.
That's you?
I don't appreciate that joke. How dare you call me out like that? So go ahead. Can you break down for me how you take something from your everyday life, my everyday life, for sure, and craft it into a part of your stand-up act? I mean, what does that process look like?
So I just find the things in life that make me go, why? And then I'll bring it up in conversations with friends and people without it being in joke form. Like, why do we do this? Like we'll be at the party and someone shows up late. And they always, Jade, you guys always come in frantic, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's like, we knew you were going to be late. And then the excuse is, oh, you get it because the baby and the baby. And it's like, I don't get it, you know, because we somehow figured out a way to get here on time. We had the three babies, but we also still retain the ability to read a clock and respect other people's time, you know? So we found a way to get here on time.
It's because you don't do the gentle parenting thing.
I don't.
You don't fool with that.
No. Hey, 2 minutes. We're out of here.
That's
hey, put your if you want to wear shoes, you should put them on because 2 minutes, the plane is taking off. We got to go.
Okay. I'm writing this down. I'm just taking notes here. Go.
Our parents didn't ask us.
They didn't.
And we turned out fine. Look at you. You got to work on time today. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're here.
I'm here.
But yeah, now then we become parents and it's like, well, we can't come because the nap schedule falls right into the time that you made the plan. So do you mind as a group of adults, do you mind switching all the plants because my baby will not survive for the next, who knows if they don't have their nap today.
You know the child is not going to act right.
The child will be fine. The child adapts to our lives. We don't change our entire lives wholesale for the baby is my.
All right.
Jade and I, we could crush a few bottles of wine discussing this, I feel. That's where a lot of the jokes come from. It's like, I just don't.
Right. Have you ever done like an intervention?
No.
With anyone?
No.
Another parent? No.
I will tell you, I feel like I am self-conscious that like my friends know what my act is like now, and they have young kids, and so I feel like I don't really, I try not to base a lot of the jokes off of the people that I know, because I think they will know and they'll feel a way about it. And something that I say all the time is like, there's some unspoken rules to parenting. One of them is like, you're not allowed to tell people how to do it, which is true. We all get to do it however we want to do it. But it doesn't mean it's not funny. So I just try to, change the names of the people as much as possible and the situations as much as possible, because my friends are great comedy writers and they have no idea.
Yeah, you can't play with that one.
Yeah.
See, okay, so how did you get started in stand-up? I would imagine, like, getting up in front of a crowd with the goal of making people laugh and mm-hmm. relating to everything that you're saying can be intimidating. So what made you want to take that on as a career?
Yeah, I do tell people this is my favorite job I've ever had, but the hardest job I've ever had. I've been, you know, telling people I'm a comedian, paying my bills as a comedian since 2010. And I got into it just kind of by accident. Like, I was trying to become a sports anchor for ESPN. And so going to college for communications, I had to take an internship. So I was at a radio station, and the morning show guy I was working with did stand up before he did radio. And I was like, I came from a small town. I don't know how to start. Like, how do you start being a comedian? And he's like, just get a notebook, and wherever they'll let you speak, you know, like, write down all of your funny ideas, and then find wherever they'll let you speak and find out if those ideas are funny. And I remember the first time I tried, it was a 5-minute set that I had rehearsed for weeks, and I did it, and it was like really, it was a rush and a high, and I've sort of never quit after that. Like, I ended up dropping out of school to pursue stand-up, and I got very lucky that my style and my style and material was well liked early, and I was able to quit all of my part-time jobs 3 years in and like start touring as a comedian. So I really, like, it found me. Comedy found me.
Comedy found you.
Now I'm here. Now I'm here judging people on a professional basis.
Well, I mean, what's the best thing about fatherhood to you?
The best part about fatherhood is, like, I think watching your kids achieve things is kind of the most fun part to me. It's like you're watching a person that has your face, you know, figure something out for the first time. Everything, especially when they're babies and like your very first kid, it's like really wild as a human to watch another person like discover everything for the first time. And I feel like when you're especially at this stage of parenthood that I'm at right now, is like this is the whole foundation for this person, is like them discovering all these new things. And how many discoveries can you facilitate for your kids is like kind of the most fun part of it. And it kind of makes you, I don't know about you, but like I feel like I started to appreciate little things more that we see every single day. And it's just like, that's, you know, we've seen it 1,000 times, so we don't register it as something interesting. But then you think about it from your kid's point of view, and it's like, this is super cool. It's like, there's a lot of stop and smell the roses moments with your kids, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, the thing that I enjoy is, like, I work, you know, for an hour at night, so I'm around during the day, and I have time to, like, stop and, like, almost rediscover mm-hmm. roly-polies. When was the last time as an adult that you just picked up a roly-poly and had it crawl up your arm? This is like a child experience. And then you do it when you're a little kid, and then you, as an adult, we're not picking up roly-polies. And it's fun.
It is.
It's super fun. If you're listening to this right now, go in your yard. If you live in an apartment, find a strange yard. They won't mind if you play with the roly, pick up a rock, the roly-polies are under there, and just there. Let it roll around your hand a little bit.
Make sure it's a roly-poly, though, right?
Yes.
Do you think that joy that you find in fatherhood is really what connects your comedy to so many audiences?
I've never thought about that, but I'm sure it is. It's like there's a real spirit of nostalgia that I think I bring to my show, because a lot of it right now is about parenting. By the way, the new special coming out soon is called What Are We Doing Today? That's the name of the special. But there's a lot about parenting in there. But you don't have to be a parent to enjoy my show. What I'm finding is, like, people will come up after the show and they go, I don't even have kids, but I enjoy the show so much. And I think it's because, like we joked about at the top of this interview, like, they were kids before. I'm not only talking about being a parent. I'm talking about, do you remember when we were kids, we did XYZ? And, I mean, I'm enjoying writing a lot of these jokes because it's forcing me to reminisce and remember these sort of things that happen. And I think as adults, we get so caught up with, you know, our day-to-day, you know, grind that we're all in, that we don't really think about, we don't connect dots on certain things from our childhood. So, like, when you're at a show enjoying your two drinks and watching these comedians you've never heard of that are blowing your mind with these jokes, it's like, oh, yeah, drinking from the water hose. The first 30 seconds was, why was it that hot? And, like, it's connected to a joke that I have about my current parenting life, but that little moment is like, I haven't had a drink from the water hose in so long. And it just, you know.
Yeah. And it just goes on from there.
Yeah.
That's great. Would you drink from the water hose now?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Everybody listening right now is like, Jade does not think that's cool. If you could see the way Jade is looking at me right now, it is whatever, like, the tone you heard in her voice is the exact way she's looking at me. Like, you animal, you drink from the water hose and you let your children
judging.
Do this?
No, I'm not judging. Not at all. No.
My name is Jade. I live in a Stanley household. We have purifiers connected to our Stanleys. We would never drink from a water hose.
You know. Okay. This is true. It's true. It's fine. You're calling me out once again. So you're headed out, right, for Father's Day?
Yes. Because
you're going to – this is the comedy special that you just mentioned, correct?
Yes. So my special, What Are We Doing – What Are We Doing Today? I just, we shot it last September at Lulu's at the Lafayette Hotel here in San Diego, which is like super cool. If you haven't been there, super sweet, like 1920s jazz club and cool vibes, and was able to shoot my special there. But now I'm like headlining this special around the country between gaps of like the Angela Johnson tour that I'm also on. So it's like I'm taking all the headlining shows in between all the main support shows, and this week coming up happens to be one of them. So I'll be in Plano, Kearney, Nebraska, Denver, Colorado, Keystone, Colorado, and then Houston on Father's Day doing my hour show, and then I turn 41 on Tuesday.
All right, okay. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
So much to celebrate.
Yeah.
Seriously, you got birthday, Father's Day. Now, you mentioned the Lafayette Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
How can people check you out locally? And what is the local comedy scene like?
Local comedy scene in San Diego is awesome. And it's awesome because the community, the audiences are good. Like, people go out here to have a good time. I lived in L.A. for almost 10 years. The audience, it's a small percentage that goes out for a good time. A lot of people are going out as a thing to do. But in San Diego, people are looking to laugh. So there's a bunch of great comedy clubs, but if you want to see me specifically, I have a show at Lulu's at the Lafayette the last Wednesday every month. We call it Laugh at Lulu's. It's a midweek comedy showcase where I curate these lineups of comedy. I picked Wednesday on purpose because as headliners, we're on the road on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my friends who headline live in L.A., and it's like an easy drive down on a midweek Wednesday to come do a show in this amazing room. And I shot my special there, and I do a monthly show there. And it's the last Wednesday every month. But outside of that, I would say if you're into comedy, The Comedy Store, Mic Drop. There's a lot of very good comedy clubs in town and a lot of good independent shows in town where people are really doing great work.
Well, sounds like a lot to check out and see. I've been speaking with San Diego-based comedian Mal Hall. You can find him at malhall.com. Of course, we'll have that link on our website too, kpbs.org. Mal, thanks so much for speaking with me today. Happy birthday. Happy Father's Day to you.
Jade, thank you for having me. I look forward to having a couple of glasses of wine with you and really, really finding some common ground.
Indeed. Indeed. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Fleet Science Center's newest exhibit, Survival of the Slowest. See firsthand how nature's smallest, slowest, and weakest creatures can not only survive, but thrive in the wild. Open May 24th through September 1st. Learn more at fleetscience.org.